Hi, I'm WTOP Entertainment Editor Jason Fraley, and we are here with
Brian Voltaggio,
who is competing Thursdays on Bravo on Top Chef All-Stars LA. Of course, a local guy here living in Frederick, Maryland. So we were just joking before we got on here that we are literally blocks from each other because I live in Frederick, too. But quarantine, we are calling.
Yes,
for taking the time
we're staying at home. Yeah, for sure. So, yeah, no, life has definitely changed around, you know, everywhere, you know, obviously, you know, our two restaurants, Volt and Family Meal in Frederick. Volt is temporarily closed currently right now, obviously due to COVID-19. And then Family Meal, though, we have a to-go operation that we are continuing to operate. So if you get a chance and you get out, since you're only over on Bent Street, come swing over east. You pick up some food.
Now, what did before we go into the show, just break down that decision. Why did you guys decide to close Volt but leave Family Meal?
Yeah,
Yeah,
no, I understand. So Volt, what we did was we actually did a pop-up wine shop for a few days and just, you know, offered some of our inventory, some of our harder-to-get wines that people don't normally see in retail. And we did that to just try to generate some cash flow for payroll and for our team. But Volt is not, you know, a typical experience that you would have, you know, on the road or to go. That's more of a in the restaurant experience, you know, for our diners. And so we just decided it would make more sense to do that and channel our efforts, you know, to our other restaurant, which is Family Meal, which is right in downtown Frederick as well. And there we're doing a to-go operation for 4 to 8 daily with even now cocktails to go, which is a new thing, despite the, you know, and obviously the concerns of what's going on around there. We, you know, at least the state allowed us to do some things to be a little bit more nimble and try to, you know, generate some income for our team.
Well, while we're on the topic, I mean, how much has it affected business so far? Do you find people still ordering takeout? Or?
Yeah, no. I think the general consensus is across, you know, everyone who's trying to do this effort, you're seeing, you know, 20% of your typical revenue, which is exactly what we're seeing over at one of our restaurants at Family Meal. You know, and unfortunately, it's just, you know, what we need to do to try to keep some people employed and, you know, obviously also, you know, for the community offer, you know, and people are cooped up, you know, they want to have, you know, there's so many recipes they could probably think of to cook out of their pantry. And so at least there's a change of pace. You know, we're trying to keep some normalcy in our lives, even though we're respecting obviously the dangers of, you know, of what's around us and respecting obviously the virus and making sure that everybody is staying safe.
For sure. Crazy times. All right. Well, let's talk. The reason we're here on the call is Top All-Stars LA, Thursdays on Bravo.
Right.
Remind our listeners, before we get to, you know, this year's season, remind us the first time you were on, I think it was back on season 6 of Top Chef, and you lost to your brother Michael in the Fack in 2009. Memories of
I know, everybody likes to remind me of that. You know, it's fantastic.
just like the,
you know, yes.
Just I'm trying to stoke the brother rivalry a little bit.
Yeah, right. So, yeah, the first time I competed was in Las Vegas. You know, yeah, I lost to Michael. It was more than 10 years ago at this point. It was just after I opened my first restaurant, Volt, decided to go into the show. After that, I also went back. I competed on Top Chef Masters. You know, it was an opportunity, you know, to go back and compete again. I mean, that's what I really love about Top Chef is the competition. And there, I also was a runner-up. So I've been in second place twice, you know, roughly. And so it was time to go back for a third time and see if I can get a win this time.
Yeah, maybe third time's a charm. You know, it's the always a bridesmaid, never a bride. You second place. And now maybe this will be the first place tonight, you know.
We'll see. Yeah.
All right. So remind us, explain the premise of this season. You know, it's called Top Chef All-Stars LA. You know, what makes this season different? How'd they round up the contestants?
Yeah, I mean, this season is everyone who has made it really far in a competition, you know, and it spans not every single season, but the majority of the last 16 seasons. There's returning chefs, whether they were a runner-up in their season or made it to the finale, some of them at least passed Restaurant Wars, you know, which is a common challenge that you find in most seasons of Top Chef. And that's kind of like the benchmark. You know, you get it past Restaurant Wars and you've kind of gone through the majority of the competition. And so everyone on this season has made it, you know, at least to that point. And all very, very talented people. There's actually three of us from season six in Las Vegas. There's Kevin Gillespie, Jen Carroll, and myself, you know, which, you know, a lot of people reference that season because that was, you know, that was also a very, really tough competitive season. I mean, they've all been great and very, you know, competitive, but I mean, I think that season stood out a lot. And so having three contestants back from that one is going to be challenging. You know, Kevin's a great cook and also a good friend. That's the other part too, is that a lot of the V's chefs, I know majority of them, you know, we're all colleagues and friends now. And so, you know, much like the first season of Top Chef I ever did when I was competing against my sibling, you know, those friendships and everything are kind of set aside, you know, for the moment while we're competing during the challenges, and yet, you know, high fives afterwards. So it's a very unique situation going back and competing, you know, with people, you know.
And aren't there some DC ties to some of the other ones too? Like Eric and Jennifer also have DC ties.
Eric,
right?
Adjupong, you know, also is on there. He came through and he did a stage at Volt at one point, you know, a while back. So, you know, we knew each other before this. I actually went back, I went to Kentucky in his season. It was a part of a table that he served, you know, that he was a you know, a chef testant during that time. He was one of the chefs competing, and actually went back for a mentor challenge. So I know a lot of these chefs, you know, in various ways. You know, obviously Jen Carroll has ties to DC too as well. So I mean, it's a very well-rounded season. You know, there's chefs from all over the country. Brian Malarkey from San Diego. You know, there's Nene Nugent from New York. I mean, there's chefs from all over, and all seasons really of Top Chef. Majority of them are all represented.
Awesome. Now, remind us of, in case our listeners might have missed last week. So last week was the season premiere, episode one.
Yes.
What was the quick fire challenge and the elimination challenge? Because you made it through.
So I made it through, or you wouldn't be talking to me right now. So the quick fire challenge was the classic mise en place challenge, which is, I think it's Tom's favorite challenge of all time, where there's three different challenges that we had to do. One was turning artichokes, the other one was segmenting oranges, and the last one was cracking almonds. And so it was to divide everybody up in teams. Whoever got first, you know, done first in each one moved on and got to jump in the car and head to the Top Chef kitchen to start the dishes. So I made it through the artichokes. So I was a part of the first group to head back to the Top Chef kitchen. So it gave us a time advantage, you know, to cook our dishes. We had to present two dishes using all of the ingredients. And we did a roasted artichoke dish with a pureed yogurt and sumac. And then we also did a artichoke tortelloni with a brodo. We ended up winning the quickfire, and that was my first quickfire win in Top Chef history, even though I was a part of the team. So I was pretty happy about that. And then we went on to our elimination challenge, which we did a open pit barbecue cooking a seafood spread and a cohesive menu amongst our teams. And there's three people or three chefs in each team. And we did that by the ocean, you know, on the beach, and served an amazing table of chefs, including Nancy Silverton and Jonathan Jeremiah Tower, and obviously Gail Padma and Tom Colicchio. Marcus Samuelson was at the table. So there's a lot of heavy hitters. I mean, a lot of amazing chefs in our industry that were there judging the table. Did
awesome.
Not win that challenge, but I did not go home. So here I am in week two.
Awesome. And what can we what sort of things are in store in tonight's episode? Now, you know, between you and me, this is probably, I mean, the show's airs in a couple hours from now. So our interview isn't going to air before it. So don't spoilers or anything like that. I'm probably going to run this on, like, you know, probably before episode three, I would imagine, like one day early next week, probably. So
yeah,
what goes down on episode two, or if you don't feel like spoiling it, just tease it a little or something.
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing that I learned. And so this is me back again at Top Chef. And with respect to everybody who's watching, you know, I try not to give away too much, because actually when I won my quickfire challenge last week, actually Bravo put out on Twitter that, you know, hey, Brian got his first quickfire, and I reposted it, and then the West Coast just, they annihilated me. No, spoiler, like, no, I started getting a lot of I mean, it was all in fun, you know, but everybody was upset. So, you know, it's obviously every challenge is new. You know, this season that I experienced, it's, you know, like nothing I've ever, you know, seen before. It's a lot tougher. I can tell you that right now, because the caliber of chef, you know, that's in that kitchen all together, you know, these are all, I mean, literally all stars. I mean, these are all chefs who, you know, are, you know, doing some pretty amazing things out there in industry right now, and, you know, have been through these challenges and understand it. So the playing field is super even, and it's literally coming down to grains of salt.
Yeah. Well, you don't have to give away, you know, who advances or wins or anything, but are you allowed to say, you know, what the challenges are on episode two?
No.
You said yeah or
sorry.
No?
Sorry.
No,
in.
I can't.
That's me.
Yeah.
No, okay. Well, I'm just thinking, because I'm probably running this early next week, so it's all right. Just kind of flat.
Sorry about that.
I can just recap it after it airs, kind of a thing, and I won't have a quote from you on it, but that'll be fine. Okay, cool. Well, you know, take me back. You know, we'll have a lot of local listeners that, you know, love the Frederick roots. You know,
right.
Where exactly did you grow up? You know, what high school? I'm a Linganore guy myself, but what was where did you come up?
Yeah, no. So, I mean, I grew up in Frederick, Maryland. I went to Thomas Johnson High School. That's where I graduated. And then after that, I ended up going to the Culinary Institute of America. I first started cooking in Frederick. I worked at the Francis Scott Key Holiday Inn. That's where I got my first cook job. But then I decided to go to the Culinary Institute of America in Hyde Park, New York. Lived in New York City for about 7 years working for Charlie Palmer. After that, came back to the D.C. area, opened Charlie Palmer Steak for him. And then in 2008, I opened Volt and right in downtown. So I always knew, I think, I was going to come home and open this restaurant. You know, I actually did a project at the Culinary Institute of America that, you know, where you build a restaurant on paper, and it was all about a restaurant in an old brownstone in downtown Frederick. And I opened it 10 years after I graduated.
Wow.
And then, you know, I think it was 2008 when the restaurant opened. And then 2009, you know, I left and went to go compete on Top Chef for the first time, and obviously from there, I mean, you know, we've been able to do some pretty, you know, incredible things. You know, I work a lot with No Kid Hungry, which is, you know, a big deal right now, obviously, because there's a lot of people that, you know, are out of school, and they're a huge support of those programs, even though the county is doing a great job. But, you know, No Kid Hungry connects kids to meals, you know, and sort of bridges those gaps, especially during the summertime. So I've been fortunate to work with them for years and raise money, you know, that impacts, you know, people right here in Frederick, you know, in Frederick County, but also in all the surrounding D.C. metro area.
That's a really big, when you were a kid, were you always interested in food, or, you know, were you peering over your parents' shoulders, you know, cooking, or, you know, how do you actually get bit by the bug, as they say?
Yeah, no, my entire family, I think everybody cooked, you know, my grandparents, my mother for sure. I mean, she cooked mom food. It was all, you know, pretty amazing stuff. But we always had dinner at 5:30, no matter what. Like, that was, you know, sports, you know, crazy schedules. You know, a family of three children. She always made sure that we had from scratch meals. I mean, yeah, we had our occasional pizza nights, just like everybody else. But food was a big part of our growing up. We lived in Frederick. We had a garden out back. You know, so I think that. Just the exposure to just, you know, food meanings a lot to us all, you know, got me interested. But it wasn't until I was in high school where really I just wanted to be a cook, because I was a busboy at first and I didn't really like clearing plates. But I'd rather, you know, I saw fire and knives and, you know, craziness in the kitchen. And I asked the chef, I was like, look, if I take this vocational program in high school, you let me cook? And he said yes. And that's how I got my shot. So I started at 15. And I think because
I was so young.
I was a busboy
and waiter over at Liberty Road Seafood, so I feel you.
Oh, yeah, you know exactly what I'm talking about. So it just, yeah. I don't know. I mean, growing up, it seemed like it was just, you know, for me, it was a lot cooler to be in the kitchen. And so that's the reason why I took the job. And, you know, from there, I fell in love with it, and I just turned it into a career.
That's awesome. What has been the favorite? You know, the biggest takeaway from running Volt all these years, you know, like how pleased are you with the best? I mean, this is an institution, and a lot of people when they, you know, when Frederick Tourism or, you know, any of the local tourism always cite you guys as sort of centerpiece of like a downtown restaurant renaissance. You know, that, how does that make it feel?
You know, it makes it feel great. You know, I mean, when I set out 12 years ago to open up this restaurant, you know, I thought there was some, you know, fine dining in Frederick, but the experience that we brought to Volt was like something we haven't seen in this region. And so, you know, it was very new, but it was also very, you know, supported by the community. And, you know, it's obviously led to the now 12 years of being a part of that. You know, this is the first time I've ever had to close it for an extended period of time. So this is very unique territory for us, but we'll be back. I mean, you know, nobody needs to worry about that. It's just we had to obviously close, you know, due to current climate. But, you know, I look forward to what the next, you know, 10 to 12 years is going to bring for that restaurant. I mean, I think it's always going to be a part of downtown. You know, it's the first restaurant I ever opened, and, you know, it's obviously my flagship and my baby. And so, you know, we wanted to continue to be a part of the community.
For sure, and family too. And then, of course, real quick for our DC listeners, remind us about, you got Voltaggio Brothers Steakhouse down at National Harbor, right?
Take us into
the idea to expand down there.
Yeah, so, you know, that was an exciting project to be a part of. So we have, you know, we're with MGM. We have Steakhouse, Voltaggio Brothers Steakhouse, right in National Harbor. We also recently, a year ago, opened Estuary, which is with Hilton and Conrad in downtown D.C. So those two projects, they're collaborations between both my brother and I. And, you know, as we're starting to, you know, expand our careers and things are changing a little bit, Michael and I have been, you know, opening some things together, even though there was a time where there was some rivalry. Now we've, you know, sort of set that aside, and now we're working together on new projects, which has been, you know, extremely exciting. And so obviously, I mean, those two restaurants now are also temporarily closed, but they'll reopen soon. You know, we look forward to that. So, you know, hopefully we'll see people in late spring.
Well, final question. Once all of this show is over, you know, if you ever have a free day from all the busyness and craziness of running all these restaurants, if you, Voltaggio, have a moment to sit down for a quiet meal, what would it be? What is your ideal meal? I don't want to say favorite food, but you know what I mean? Like, if you sit down and you had to choose one desert island, what would be your meal?
Oh, wow. I had to choose
it's
one
like
meal.
Asking that's my favorite movie. I hate it.
No, I know. I mean, you know, for me, it's just, you know, really just a family gathering, family dinner. I mean, I love cooking outside. You know, just a barbecue in the spring is great. But I'm also like, I'm a big fan of Japanese cuisine, so I love sushi. So I love like a, you know, sort of an over the top experience. There's restaurants all over this region that provide, you know, something like that. I don't know. It, for me, it always changes, but I think just a good home cooked meal with my family is what I really enjoy. You know, I'm in restaurants, you know, on a daily basis. And so sometimes, you know, what I cook at home is very different than what I cook in restaurants. And so it's a little bit more comforting.
For sure. Well, hopefully we get some of those outdoor cookouts and barbecues. Get back to that soon after all this stuff dies down. Stay safe, indoors or whatever you got to do, but we keep the good food coming.
Yeah, we'll do. We'll stay safe yourself, and thank you very much for the time. And, you know, hopefully you get a chance to watch the episode tonight. Should be a lot of fun.
All right, everybody. Brian Voltaggio, Frederick, Maryland, competing on Top Chef All-Stars LA, airing Thursdays on Bravo. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Take care. Appreciate it.